We're in Psalm 119, moving on to a new segment. Aren't you excited? Beginning in verse 105, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, Psalm 119, and beginning in verse 105, we will read together through verse 112, these eight verses. The Hebrew letter represented is the Hebrew letter Nun, and we're going to read these eight verses all together, Psalm 119, beginning in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Well, we are beginning another letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Hebrew letter Nun. And it doesn't mean that it's a little lady with a black hat thingy and all that stuff. Okay, it's not one of those. But rather, it's a letter, right? And it's part of the Hebrew alphabet. And here represented by these eight verses. Verse 105 is probably extremely recognizable to you. How many of you know this verse by heart? Wonderful. In our Christian school, we always taught this verse along with also verse Psalm 119, verse 11, that we understand that God's word is a light to us. It's our guide book for us. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, we have focused on the light of the word of God before. We have focused on the guidebook and how God's word is to be our guide to the way that we go. And as I got to looking at verse 105, at verse 106, and verse 107, I noticed three things that the psalmist seems to indicate or focus on. The first that we'll talk about is in Psalm 105. And at the very end, he says, and a light unto my path. My path. So we're going to look at my path. And then in verse 106, we understand that David says, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. So even though the word my something that starts with the letter P is not here, I thought of one. My promise. My promise. I have sworn and I will perform it. And then in verse 107, I noticed another thing. He says, I am afflicted very much. Now, come on, all of you are quick. We can, in verse 107, we see, okay, you're not that quick. My problem. I'm afflicted very much. So we're going to look at those. Isn't that neat how that comes together like that? And it's alliterated. It's a preacher's dream. Fantastic, right? So we're going to look at my path, my promise, and my problem. Back to 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Our path is simply our course of life. Our course of life. We are like a ship on the sea, and there's a certain course that our life takes. Paul, the apostle, said that he had finished his course. His course. There's a course to our lives. And there are ebbs and flows to it and turns and different things that take place during the course of our life. And what should be that lamp hanging there if we're on a ship, maybe on the bow or in the front part of the ship, and we see what's ahead, right? There's a guideway that we can take as you're walking down a dark path. Maybe you're out camping, right? Which would be wonderful, right? And here in just a few moments, there will be it will be dark out there, and you may need a light to get to your car or something like that. Okay, but you're going to follow a light so you can see the path and the course that you need to take to travel safely. The Word of God is that for our course of life. If we're going to be successful in God's eyes, remember the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Jesus is the light. The Word of God is the light. That's what we need to follow in our lives. And the course of our life should follow the path that God has designated, not necessarily the one that we think is best. The psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. Once again, we see what kind of is in the mind of David as he pens these psalms in Psalm 119. In Psalm 16, then verse 1, he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." You notice here that David said that he is going to be shown the path of life, the course of life. By whom? By God. God's the one that designates our path. God's the one that designates the course of our life, if we will just follow it. In Psalm 27, verse 11, the Bible tells us, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Over in Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon trying to give knowledge and wisdom and discretion to his son, says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who do rejoice, or who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, those ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. You see here, two ways. We have a good way, a good path, and we have an evil way, an evil path, a crooked path. You know, we can take the wrong course in life. Or if you will, we can get off course in our life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What keeps us in the good way? What keeps us on the right path? The wonderful word of God. That's what it does. Human reason will fail you. Your own judgment will fail you. Your heart certainly will fail you. We know it's deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Proverbs chapter 4, it says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know what he's saying there? Stay on course. And how do we stay on course? By the wonderful word of God. That's how we do it. My path. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We have gone over this portion of scripture many times as well. But can I tell you something? I learned something in education. Repetition is the key to learning. Yeah. Over and over and over and over again. It's the key to learning. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 7. God trying to encourage and strengthen Joshua. How would you like to become overnight the leader of 3 million plus complaining people? No thanks. Only be thou strong, in verse 7, and very courageous, that thou mayest do what? Do what, Joshua? What are you going to do? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't it? A promise of the path that Joshua was to take. And earlier in the scriptures there, it says that everywhere the sole of his foot would tread, that there would no man be able to stand against him. Well, great promises for a soldier, right? I mean, fantastic. But there was a condition. A condition that he would let the word of God be a light unto his feet, a lamp unto his feet, and a light unto his path. He would not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. That he should prosper. That he should have good success. And that God would be with him. You see, it's my way. My course of life. It needs to be set to the wonderful word of God. Go back to Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 106 says, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. In a general sense, we have a declaration, written or verbal, made by one person to another, which binds the person who makes it, either in honor, conscience, or law, to do or forbear a certain act specified. A declaration which gives to the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance or the forbearance of said act. What's that? It's the definition of a promise. Definition of a promise. God has the right to expect. What did David say? He said, I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. We know that as a believer in Christ, Jesus has said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. The Bible tells us that we ought to keep our promises because God keeps his. In Titus chapter 1, Paul writes and says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. And this is one of my favorite comments in the Bible, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. God has kept every single one of his promises. And he's made a bunch. We had a choir song we used to sing at Trinity Baptist Church there in Arlington, that God has never gone back on one of his promises. He never has. He's kept them all. And you know what? What a wonderful example for us. How many have we gone back on in our lives? David said, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. As you study scriptures and you look in the Old Testament at the example of God's chosen people, what do you see? Promises made, promises broken. Promises made, kept for a little while, broken. Over and over and over and over again. I mean, if you wanted to put on a timeline the success and failure of the children of Israel, you'd have the world's greatest roller coaster. Up and down. Yeah. It'd be all over the place. Oh, mercy. But are we really far different from that? I love looking into the lives of the apostles. And, you know, all of those men were quite different in their personalities and types. I happen to be, in my own life, a Peter. A Peter. No, I'm not going to cut anybody's ear off. All right? At least I don't think so. I might. You never know. But one of the things Peter was great at, and I'm not so good at it at 44 years old. Yeah. Open the big old mouth. Insert the foot. He was good at that. Hey, I'll never leave you, Jesus. I'll never... Yikes. Yeah, he had a hard time, didn't he? So do some of us. You know, our promise. What have we promised to God? What have we dedicated? What have we vowed unto the Lord. God has promised us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have we given Him our lives? Have we dedicated ourselves to Him? Have we maybe answered the call to service and perhaps gone back on that? Or perhaps a way to live, as the psalmist said here, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I've sworn it. I will perform it. I'm going to do it, God. How are we doing with our promises? In Exodus 24, the children of Israel made a promise. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will we do. And Moses, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it into basins. And half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. Okay, now I'm reading to you out of Exodus chapter 24. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. And then if you look in your Bible, Moses goes up into the mountain to meet with God. And in chapter 25, he's meeting with God. And in chapter 26, he's meeting with God. And in chapter 27, he's getting the ways of the how to make the tabernacle and the priest's garments. And he's getting all this information from God. And in chapter 26 and 27 and 28 and 29 and chapter 30 and chapter 31, Moses is having a great time with God, getting all these things from God. And in Exodus chapter 32, now notice, this is going to be what we're going to find out later. It's going to be, 40 days. He was gone. A little over a month. In verse 32, or chapter 32, verse 1, it says this. Now, we're not talking years. We're not talking generations. We're talking a month and a week or so. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Folks, 40 days. They had just made a covenant with God. And had blood sprinkled on them, for crying out loud. And Moses wrote it down and then he read it back to them and they said, we will obey. 40 days later, they're not obeying anymore. Oh my. What about the promise? What about the vow? I have sworn. And I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. God noticed, as God should, and does. And in verse 7 of chapter 32, and the Lord said unto Moses, you ought to read this for yourself because it's fantastic. They have these, one thing that I've taken from all my studies about the children of Israel and Moses and leadership and God, is I'm glad that they never got on the same page. Yeah. Because at one time, God wanted to kill the children of Israel, and Moses said, don't do it. And then Moses would get mad, and he wanted God to kill them, and God said, no, I'm not going to kill him. If they ever got on the same page, there wouldn't be an Israel. Hallelujah for that. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down. Now this sounds like a conversation my wife and I would have. I won't tell you which one is God and which one is Moses. This is funny. For thy people, God, these are your people. You ever find scripture amusing? You should. It is fantastic. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Kind of like when my wife, your child, look what your child did. You know, your parents have never done that to your spouse, right? Never, never, of course not. He said, thy people, which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Now, here's what God says. The condemnation of God Almighty about these people, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. He's right. He's right. They abandoned their vow and their promise all too quickly. But can I say to you and I today, haven't we at times in our lives likewise? Oh man, you wrote it down in your Bible. You came to an old-fashioned altar and prayed about it. And a week later, you're back to it again. It's happened to us. I just want us all to consider our promise. Numbers 30, verse 2, it says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. In Deuteronomy 23, 21, it says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. You know Joshua? He was commanded and even said to the people at the end of his life, choose you this day whom you will serve. So for as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and to serve other gods. At the end of that chapter, the Bible tells us that the people of Israel followed God all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. But then afterwards arose a generation that forgot God and went back on the covenant with God. We have a promise to keep. We ought to serve the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. How are we doing? In 2 Kings 23, we talked about Josiah a couple weeks ago. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk up to the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Why don't you take a stand? Make a stand. Think about maybe things that you have promised the Lord. You know, it's not too late. It's not too late. You say, but I left that promise a long time ago. You can pick it up again. It's not too late. Why don't you be like David? I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Well, so far we've seen my path and my promise. Now let's look at my problem. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me. You know how much I like that word. Vivify. Okay? O Lord, according to thy word. Now, we've talked about this particular subject many times over the last 10 and a half months. Okay? But I want to focus on the problem. There's a problem in his life. There's an affliction that is bothering him very much. Are there things in your life that are bothering you very much? Hey, listen, we've talked about different types of afflictions. Sometimes we have affliction because of our own choices. We've made a choice, and there's a consequence. There's an affliction there. Sometimes we suffer because of other people's choices. Sometimes we suffer because God's trying to purify us in our lives or set us apart for a service or a perfect thing. He's trying to do something in our lives or maybe trying to develop something in us or through us. We may see it as a problem, but to God, it's good. We've talked about this. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. David said, oh God, he said, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, vivify me, jumpstart me, get the paddles out. Clear. Make me alive again through thy word. God's word can help us through these storms, through these trials and tribulations, through these afflictions, whether we deserve them or not. God's word makes us alive again. It is what keeps us going. It's according to the word of God that he will quicken us. He will bring us back to life. He will vivify us, even though we are afflicted very much. God is faithful. God is enduring. He is sure to provide deliverance for his people. Aren't you glad that God promises that he will not give us more than we can bear? Well, sometimes it seems dark, doesn't it? Seems like a big problem. But with God, all problems are little problems. Didn't he tell us to take his yoke upon us? Because his yoke is light, even though our burdens are heavy. You know what? He gives us the church to help us to bear one another's burdens. God helps us during our afflictions. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I have a few examples to look at of afflictions in the lives of Christians and how we can make it through these afflictions through and according to the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for which we live and are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Doesn't that really give the great sense of what David is saying? Paul explains it so well to the Corinthians. That, hey, listen, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. David said, oh, I'm afflicted very much. And then he turned his eyes to the Lord and said, quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. What was Paul hanging on? The promises of God. The word of God. That God would be faithful, even though they were going through these things in their lives as Christians. Are there going to be troubles? Yes. Are there going to be difficulties? Yes. Maybe you should memorize this passage in 2 Corinthians 4. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Isn't that a great promise? God's word is going to keep us. We can be afflicted very much, but we can also be quickened, O Lord, according unto thy word. Hey, our problems, God can carry them for us. Give them to Jesus. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He's the one that sustains us. He's the one that revives us and gives us new life. Galatians chapter 6 tells us, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, as we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Remember Hebrews 12? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father, of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For of whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then ye are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I think these passages of Scripture adequately express what David is telling us in Psalm 119, verse 107. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. So just three thoughts tonight. My path, my promise, and my problem.